Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 94 WIP. This is the morning show. We are broadcasting live from the Borgata Hotel, Casino, and Spa in Atlantic City. 1 hour left for us today. Midday show coming up at 10, but time to get in. 215-592-9494. Talking about a lot of things today. More fallout from the Joel Embiid story. And, you know, whether you read it the same way I do, that I kind of think it's a cry to get out of here. Like, I don't think Joel Embiid wants to be here anymore. I think it was interesting for that piece to drop when it did. And I just don't see how it's productive moving forward. If the goal is to win, to, you know, come out and pretty much bury the organization, air out all that dirty laundry, I don't think it's all totally wrong. Like, I don't think the Sixers were justified in a lot of things they did. They've done a lot, made a lot of mistakes over the years, but I don't think it's helpful moving forward. So you want to get in on that. Also talking about the Phillies, our Twitter poll question of the day, at WIP Morning Show on Twitter, and our Twitter poll question of the day, sponsored by Armin Chevrolet. Armin has the new 2025 Chevy Trax in stock now, starting at only $21,495. Together, let's drive. See Armin's inventory at ArminChevy.com, at WIP Morning Show on Twitter. And a question today, do you still believe this Phillies team can win a World Series as we head into the second half and really the stretch run here? Got about 10 days till the deadline, and a lot going to be determined here in the next few days. So,
oh, man.
So
we need to see just the position. We need to see the attack position from Dave Dombrowski. You know, like over these next however long it is, 10 days, trade deadline that we're talking. Is that how much we're talking? 2 weeks?
About 10
13
days.
13 days, whatever it is. We need to see the proactive Dave Dombrowski, the overactive Dave Dombrowski, the Dave Dombrowski that's willing to pony up, in some cases, guys that, you know, we know the names of, guys who are in our farm system, but we are aware of. You know, now is the time to pull the trigger on these deals that get you bigger name guys. I'm tired of the way that last year the trade deadline felt, where it was, this is lukewarm. Why aren't we fully in? But, oh, hey, you know, it's good enough. Carlos Estevez, like, he was pretty good. He's now an all-star for someone else. He was pretty good. Let's get lots of activity working prior to this trade deadline. Let's see you go all in, because this team needs it if we're going to win a World Series. We can win a World Series. We just need serious Dave Dombrowski, I don't know, what would you call it? Motivation, activation.
Aggression.
Yeah, sure. I think that's what I need to see.
Agreed, and we'll get to some interesting sound regarding the Phillies' approach to the deadline in a minute. But first, no drop of the week this week. Drop of the week would be sponsored by Family and Company Jewelers, South Jersey's Diamond Destination. I think the drop of the week this week would have just been John saying the word beleaguered.
Yeah, probably. That would be a good one.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He was saying beleaguered a lot.
Well,
in the first
I've been
hour
saying
of the show.
Sensitive, Tom, also sensitive and talkative.
Talkative Tom.
Sensitive,
yeah,
Tom.
You said that
Tom
quite a bit that mm-hmm. week, too. Mm-hmm.
Beleaguered too. Tom.
Yeah, beleaguered Tom is my favorite. 215-592-9494. Get back to the phones in a minute here. But first, some interesting reports regarding the trade deadline. First off, just talking about the Phils needing aggressive Dave Dombrowski. Here was Ken Rosenthal talking yesterday about what he's hearing as far as how the Phillies are going to approach this thing.
I'd expect they're going to be active for multiple relievers, and they need a big one. There's no question about that. Alvarado's coming back in August, but he's not going to be eligible for the postseason after getting a PED suspension. They are a team that would be in the mix for all of those controllable relievers in the AL Central we were talking about. Class A and Jax and Duran. David Bednar would be another possibility for them. Any reliever out there is someone that they're going to look at. There's also been talk with them of an outfielder, and it could be someone from their own system. Justin Crawford is someone getting a lot of mention, Carl Crawford's son. But ideally, it would be someone a little bit more proven, maybe a center fielder that would enable them to move Marsh to left at certain times. I see them being quite active. Dave Dombrowski knows that this team's window does not go on forever. Schwarber and Realmuto, free agents after this year. They probably will try to re-sign both. Then they've got a lot of money coming off the books after 26. So they are an interesting team in an interesting place, and I do expect them to be aggressive and active.
And I would hope that's the case, but hey, I mean, we've heard that each of the last 2 years, and they've been anything but aggressive and active.
Well, have we heard that, like, specifically that they, because I,
last
this
year
is
we
now,
did.
Yeah, I mean, and Dombrowski did that interview, oh my gosh, who was it with, like, a couple weeks ago where he, I think it was all smoke and mirrors, he was like, oh, I think our lineup is fine, you know, we're not looking to do that, and now you hear rumors that they like Buxton, they like some other potential bats, some other relievers. The thing is, like, you're not going to get all of them. There's no way. Like, I think that they'll sacrifice and trade some of these top prospects. I don't think they'll trade in Andrew Painter. I don't think they're going to trade a Justin Crawford. So it's what you're able to get in return for the guys that you're willing to give up. And I just don't think it's going to be a massive haul like everyone wants. Like, I don't think you're going to get three players, maybe one or two.
Right. Yeah. I think everybody's in play except for Painter. I think Painter's probably the one they won't trade. I think everybody else got to be on the table, though.
Well, so what I've heard is that they're interested in bringing Justin Crawford up and seeing what he's able to do, even in like a platoon situation in the outfield. The issue I have with that is, why would you wait until after the trade deadline to do that?
It's basically just
do it now.
Well, what it looks like, and this is what's frustrating, is it looks like it's just an excuse not to make a
trade.
Exactly. You know, and it's like, oh, well, because can't you already see Dave Dombrowski after the season? Well, we thought Crawford was going to come up and help.
Yeah.
Well, you could have brought Crawford up in June and actually seen if he could help you.
Right. And I also just puts a lot of pressure on a young kid who, you know, hasn't been in this big of a spot. And from what I've heard of Justin Crawford, like, that doesn't seem like that's going to really be something that could affect him. But it's not like bringing up a young 20-something kid is going to fix all of your issues. Like, I would love if he came up and was great, but you still have some holes. Like, you still have Bryson Stott, who is second baseman, who has been hitting like a 206 since the start of May. So, like, you have other issues that you need to address that are bigger than what one kid is going to be able to fix.
Absolutely. Now, as far as the relievers go, one of the real big names out there is Emmanuel Clase. Here's Jim Bowden talking about Clase and what he's hearing with him.
I keep hearing Emmanuel Clase's name, and I think Cleveland's at the point now where they're looking at their lineup. They're 26 in runs scored, 20th in home runs, and they're feeling like, look, we can put Cade Smith closing. Let's move on from Clase. He's got an affordable contract. He's signed. We can do well prospect-wise. So, you know, I think they can move him. And teams like the Phillies and the Mets and the Tigers, they have enough in their farm system to make a deal. I think he more likely goes to Philly or the Mets than the Tigers. I'm not sure they're going to do it, trade him in their own division, unless they get overwhelmed.
I mean, Clase would be a heck of an addition. But the one thing that does worry me about him, and especially on this team, he's been great in the regular season. He has not been good in the playoffs. And last year against the Yankees, he had a nightmare series in that ALCS.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard him as a name that's been tossed around that the Phillies have been attached to. Look, even if he hasn't pitched well in the playoffs, like, I'd still rather the Phillies go for him than the Mets, right? Like, you don't want them to not go after him, and then he goes to a direct competitor. So
if it's him or Romano, I'll take my chances.
Right, exactly.
With Clase.
Yeah, I also think the Orioles have. I mean, what if the Phillies just brought back Sir Anthony?
Well, they're not going to. They're not going to do that because I think they know how dumb
they know
look.
It. Well, yeah, and that's also why, like with the Rhys Hoskins stuff, like they're never going to do that because that would be admitting that they made a mistake.
The Sir Anthony thing just bothers me so much because, like, you gave him up for Austin Hayes. Yeah. And he's pitching great this year.
Yeah.
And he would have been perfect in the bullpen. I get he wasn't having a good season. Mm-hmm. It just felt like a little early to give up on him last year. But here's one more. And we talked about Byron Buxton a lot. You mentioned this earlier, Devin. But here was what Buxton had to say at the All-Star game regarding a trade with him and whether he'd waive his no-trade clause.
I mean, I see them, but they don't dictate what we got to do on the field to get ourselves right.
He's being asked
about what? I can't be traded. I got a no-trade clause. I'm a Minnesota Twin for the rest of my life, so that's the best feeling in the world, knowing I get to walk into a clubhouse and it's going to say Twins for the rest of my life. I'm a Twin. That's home.
It's hard to hear the question there, obviously.
Yeah.
But Byron Buxton asked about being traded, and he sounds like he doesn't want to waive his no trade clause. I mean, I don't know why you'd want to freeze your ass off in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Rather
I mean,
than get traded here and go try to win a World Series. But I don't, I guess, I do you think, like, do we think that's real, guys? John, do
I
you think
know.
That's real, or do you think that's just posturing?
I think. I can't imagine you would not consider other possibilities in sports if I'm in a position where I could go to a different town in a different city that has a better chance to win, that has a pretty, I don't know, that nicer living conditions for my family, like all that sort of thing. I think anything should be potentially negotiable. Even when there's a no-trade clause involved, he can lift said no-trade clause. Can he?
Well, we couldn't hear the question there, but wasn't it a Braves? They're asking about the Braves specifically.
I'm not sure.
Okay. I need to go back and check in the written articles about it, but I'm pretty sure it was like a specific team ask.
Okay.
So when I first saw that he had said that, I was like, oh, well, he's just, you know, posturing. But the fact that he goes on to say, like, oh, it's the best feeling in the world to know that, like, I'm going to be a Minnesota Twin for life. I just don't know if he'd go that far if he was just posturing.
Well, and I also think maybe he's trying to help the organization out a little bit. Like, obviously, he seems happy there. Maybe that can get them a little more.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because that could be trying to do the Twins a solid on his way out. Because that would be a perfect fit. I mean, that's the guy who I become more and more interested in Byron Buxton, because the year he's having is pretty incredible. And you just stick him out in center field, then you can just do away with Kepler. You can just totally get rid of him. Marsh can kind of be the platoon guy with whoever you have in left.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
Why am I forgetting?
Otto
Kemp. Yeah, that's the name that was escaping me there. But yeah, I mean, Byron Buxton would solve a lot of your issues.
Yeah, he would. Do you think maybe the Twins would just take Max Kepler back?
No.
Throw him in the trade.
I like the thought, but I don't think so.
Tom, you talked about the injuries, though, with Trout. Buxton's played more than 100 games twice in an 11-year career.
But his contract isn't as egregious as
Trout's. No, I understand it's not. I'm just saying if we're going strictly on the injury thing, he's even hurt more than Trout is.
Yeah, but I mean, with Trout, it's more about the contract to me than anything else. I mean, you're not going to take on that kind of contract. But with Buxton, I mean, if you're desperate, you're not going to – nobody's going to be a perfect fit. But I would make that kind of sacrifice for a guy like Buxton and what he could provide for you. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Let's go to Neil in the Northeast. What's up, Neil?
Well, shout out to Devin and Ruben Amaro Jr. and also UTK and
Al McGurney
in the Citizens Bank broadcast booth. And Devin, of course, let's go 8 a.m. tomorrow with Ruben Amaro Jr.
That's
you should
right.
hire Neil.
Neil
is the biggest fan of your show with Ruben.
Every time he just gets that plug. You plug my show better than I do, Neil. So thank you for that. And yes, Ruben and I will be on air at 8 a.m. tomorrow.
Yeah. I like the Buxton thing, you know, but the only thing is you have to give up almost all the prospects. I mean, he threw much of it, you know, like that. Maybe, you know, you were talking about the reliever with Cleveland. How about Kwan, too? You know, if he could actually get a package with both of them, you know, like Kwan and that, or maybe even Ward out of the Angels, because he does have, like, over 20-something home runs. So even though his average isn't that good, you know, like that, but I think Dombrowski has to make a move, you know, like whether it's the reliever at Cleveland or Chapman or Miller or Batista. I think he has them, you know, and they got till July 31st, or 13 days, and it's about time that Dombrowski does what he did with Detroit and Boston and be a Hall of Famer, you know, like make a decent deal with the Phillies. And I think that maybe could, you know, make them a World Series contender. But Dombrowski has to make some good deals.
Yeah, and Kwan's interesting because he's not like what you would think the Phillies need. A left-handed hitter, more of a speed leadoff guy at the top of your lineup. But I do think it would make sense. Like, if you got Kwan, you could put him in the leadoff spot. You put Turner, too. And then it just lengthens everything out a little more, where you could have Schwarber hit clean up behind Harper. So, yeah, I'd be interested in Kwan. I think even though he's not typically the perfect fit, I think it would be interesting to add him to the lineup.
Yeah, and Embiid, I think he's either a medical buyout or he is going to go to another team. But I don't think he really has value because he already played any games, you know, last year. And he might be a player like Yao Ming or Bowie, that it's just that, you know, like he's not conditioned, you know, well. And, you know, like the chronic arthritis, you know, might be the case that he doesn't come back from that, you know, so.
Yeah, maybe. Do you got something for our side topic, Neil?
Well, I think Britney Spears and her dad, like that whole thing about her money and the estate, and she finally freed up that she could manage her own money. I think that was like a troubling thing, even with like Dr. Phil involved and, you know, the estate and Britney's money or whatever. So I'm glad that she finally got control of her own account and estate.
Appreciate the call, Neil. I'm not familiar enough with that. Was that somebody get caught in that, or?
I don't think anyone got caught, unfortunately. Like, I agree with what he's saying. It was wrong. I didn't even know that. I don't know if she definitely has control over her money and estate at this point. I think she still is, like, she's some sort of supervision. I don't know.
Her parents were, like, taking her money.
I like the idea. I just don't know if it fits the side topic requirements.
Yeah, but a good innovative idea from Neil there.
Yeah,
and Neil really does love your show.
He does.
Every time.
He does. I promise I don't pay Neil, and every Saturday morning he is the first caller on the board. So
he is.
We appreciate Neil. Yes.
Nice. Yes. Well, at least Neil finally, after weeks, finally added me in.
Like, oh yeah, Tom, you do
a good
job, too.
I was very happy
That's
about
good.
That. Neil, at least I'm getting the pat on the head from Neil now after complaining.
Devin, were you here for the one time he called in and complimented, I think, the entire WIP staff besides Tom?
No. It was the last time we were here,
oh, yeah,
I think.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, oh, the
he was like, you know,
show.
The midday show's great. Afternoons
Buzz,
great is great. Buzz
show.
Is awesome. You know, Rob Cherry's great at night.
Yeah, I took a
John Johnson overnight. He's like, who else am I missing? Oh, right.
Neil's big snack.
Rob Ellis, yeah, and Tom's like, okay, I'm like 12th on the list.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Neil. But it's nice
to love Neil.
Here, Neil, give me some props now. Let's go to Ken and Cinnaminson. What's up, Ken?
Good morning, everybody. How are you today?
Doing great, Ken.
So on the Phillies real quick, because I want to get to Joel Embiid. I actually got an advanced copy of Dave Dombrowski's post-trade deadline comments, and he says he really likes their club. And they didn't really feel like they needed to do a lot. And the video...
Oh, that can't happen.
Don't pay any attention to the fact he's wearing the same shirt he wore when he did it after last trade deadline. It's not just a reboot of last year's trade deadline comments. So, he's not... There's nothing out there to do. I mean, there's really nobody out there to really make a tremendous impact, especially the bat you need. So I just don't know what anybody thinks he's going to do. He's never done it before. Not here, so... On Joel Embiid, there's a couple things. I read the article. I don't know why. I don't really care that much about the Sixers, but it's an interesting topic to me. Once again, it's ESPN. This might as well be a public relations piece masquerading as journalism. So you can't really take ESPN seriously as a journalistic outlet. The only one I feel any sympathy for in the entire article is the poor golden doodle Klaus that got crushed by the elevator. And let's
that was actually very heartbreaking to read about.
Yeah, let's put that into context. Here's the guy who has an elevator in his house, who spends 18,000 words painting why he's a victim his entire life. So, you know, the question to me is not does he want to be here? The question to me is, why would you want him back? I mean, does it ever work out where a guy goes to these lengths to so publicly and in a detailed fashion wreck the organization that employs him? And then, you know, everything just gets mended and it comes back and it's all good. I mean, he's already said he's never going to participate in a team meeting again. Mm-hmm. Like, why would we want this guy back? I'm not questioning him. Like, the injuries are the injuries, right? And he's got no question he's got bad luck. How many times can you get elbowed in the face and have your face broken, right? So there's no question it's bad luck. But this has to end, because the organization is you know, has been a joke for my entire lifetime, frankly. And I'm older than anybody in that studio. I mean, they've won two championships in the history of the franchise. But you know, it's 18,000 words of Joel Embiid basically, you know, convincing you that you should feel sorry for him and that nothing is his fault and that everything that he has done that is good is all on him. So he makes a comment about James Harden and giving up on James Harden. And I can't understand, like, am I missing something? Because didn't the Sixers opt into the second year of Harden's contract and then he demanded to be traded? Like, who's giving up on who there?
Right. So, and Ken, this is the thing. Like, I find it hard to believe that the Sixers didn't ask Joel Embiid his opinion on James Harden ahead of time. Like, I find that very hard to believe that, okay, well, they made this decision on what the team's going to look like moving forward without any input from him. I don't really believe that, honestly.
This is the Hindenburg, you know, crashing into the Titanic while it's going down in front of our eyes, and we can't see it. There's no way to salvage this.
Yeah, I agree, Ken. What do you have for our side topic answer today?
So I'm sure nobody in the studio remembers this, but once upon a time in 1980, a guy named Gary Hart ran for president, and he told the press, follow me around, because there were intimations that he was being unfaithful to his wife. So he told the press, follow me around. And they did, and it took him about 2 weeks to catch him being unfaithful to his wife.
I have not heard that one. Appreciate the call, Ken. Thanks. Yeah, that's probably not a good idea.
Yeah.
Tell them to follow you around if you actually are doing something wrong.
Yeah, if you're trying to prove a point and then that happens, probably not. Yeah. Not the best idea.
The haters said he couldn't do it, and they were right. Shout out to the haters.
there you go.
You've never seen that tweet?
I don't know. Have you seen it? Do you know what he's talking about?
Yeah, I do, actually.
Okay.
It's kind of like a meme, as you would say, TK.
But like an actual meme, not just a viral tweet.
Well, I do think I saw that in meme form, Puzz.
Okay, I found a viral tweet, which was exactly what you said. So if you can come up with the meme, I'll buy it. Until then.
Yeah, I don't feel the need to prove anything.
I'm not surprised.
So, yeah.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.